First John chapter 2, we start at verse 20. And we will read through verse 27. Once again, we say this often, and you say, Pastor, you say that so often, and we get tired of it. Remember, Peter's intention in writing that second book especially was to do what? To remind people. And I was thinking as I was listening to John teaching this morning in Sunday school, finishing out 2 Peter chapter 3 and just some of the truth that's there. I mean, you know, we know the scriptures themselves are inspired, but they were different manuscripts. But I almost think, you know, it's no accident that when they put together the portions of scripture, 1 John fits so well after the truth of 2 Peter, talking about some of those who are coming along scoffing and trying to deny the truth. And here we are today, and once again, and we just see how it all works together, and we're thankful for the opportunity that's ours to have His Word as we consider it this morning. I trust you have it now, 1 John chapter 2, verse 20. But you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you shall also continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that He hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce or deceive you. But the anointing which you have received of Him abideth in you. And you need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in Him. I was thinking when John was teaching this morning and he asked something about, as Peter had referred to Paul's writings, he said, Paul ever write anything that you had some difficulty understanding? And of course the answer was, yeah. How about John? He was a master of it too, wasn't he? Some of these things, you say, what are you referring to, Pastor? What we just read. You come up here and explain it. You come up here and teach it. How thankful we are for the ministry of the Holy Spirit in His Word. Let's remain standing for prayer. Father, we're thankful that we could come today as a group of believers. We thank you for this place. Thank you that you put it on the hearts of these folks to make the choice to come today. We don't get here unless we determine to come. And I thank you for the purpose that you put on their heart to get themselves ready and to go to church today. You have truth for us. You are the way, the truth, and the life, Lord Jesus. And you have given us your word. It is true from the beginning. And we know that heaven and earth will someday pass away, but your word will never pass away. I thank you for the ministry of the Holy Spirit to teach us and instruct us. I thank you, and I'm counting, Lord, on your enablement this morning through the power of the Holy Spirit to guide, lead me in knowing what to say and knowing what not to say. I'm trusting your Spirit to guide me to present the truth, not just so we can fill our heads with facts, but that we can have our eyes open to understand the spiritual truth and how it can apply to us as we yield unto you and as we yield our wills and our hearts unto you, and we determine by your grace to be the people you would have us to be. We thank you, Father, again for your goodness. We thank you even for the blessing to this congregation during this past week as we think of this new little one that is now a part of a family of our own. We just pray, Lord, that you would continue to help Lauren recover and this little one to grow and develop the way he ought to. We just thank you, Father, that all that we have comes from you. We thank you for the accomplishments that these young people made in the past winter months as they worked on their lessons, as they memorized verses, as they took to their hearts the truth that was being taught. May they not forget it, Lord. We just thank you for what was accomplished. Now we look unto you, we wait on you, and we'll thank you for what you have for us in your name. Amen. And you may be seated. I'm sorry for the noise of the fans beside you, but trust me, you're glad for the fans. I'll try to speak loud enough, so is there anybody that can't hear me? I know, Pastor, you have a loud mouth. You know, everybody can hear you. Well, I hope even with all these fans, but it's for our survival. We've got to have them. I trust that the noise won't distract you, but you'll be able to get in the spirit of the message, and the Lord will be able to bless your hearts. Throughout this epistle that we have looked at, we have seen John's interest and care for his readers, evidenced by the fact that he had written certain things to them to warn them against false teachers who were busy in their midst trying to draw believers away from the truth unto their error. In the verses that we considered just last Sunday, he mentioned, as we saw it in the 18th and 19th verses, and he mentioned the name again even in our reading this morning, he warned them concerning the presence of Antichrist among them. Now, he did not use the proper noun indicating that John believed that it was the Antichrist among them. And there is an individual that someday is going to appear on the scene, the man of sin. We find in the book of Revelation in the future, when this one appears, he is going to be operative, especially during the seven-year tribulation period. During the first half of that tribulation period, we find that he is going to be instrumental in seducing the nation of Israel even to listen to him. And he's going to be promising the peace to them, promising them peace. Man of he'll give peace to them. In the midst of the seven-year period, he's going to break his peace pact with Israel, and his true colors will certainly shine. And the last 7 years are what is known as the time of Jacob's troubles. The Antichrist himself, the man of sin in the book of Revelation chapter 13, his colors will truly shine. This is not the one that John is talking about here in our... He's talking about the spirit of Antichrist, the things that Antichrist embodies. And he said in verse 18, you've heard, it's the last time you've heard that Antichrist shall come, even now. Verse 18, there are many Antichrists. Anybody that opposes, resists, denies, rejects the truth concerning the Lord Jesus Christ is demonstrating the spirit of Antichrist. I don't care whether it was from the day the church began or to this day and the day to come. And that's what John is referring to. He's saying this spirit, they're everywhere. These deniers, these who are false teachers. And so we find that he had mentioned them. We saw, well, how are they known? They depart from the truth. They deny the truth concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And we saw in verse 26 of 1 John 2, they go all out trying to seduce the unsuspecting or the ill-informed individual into believing their lies. Now, such truth, it might cause a person to be filled with concern, apprehension, and fear of being misled themselves. How can I? Well, I don't want to be misled. How can I know? I'm worried. I'm worried that maybe I'll be carried off into some false teaching, some error. Well, in the verses that we want to look at today, we discover that John continued with words of great comfort and assurance regarding what the believers possessed in the person of the Holy Spirit of God. And we want to look today under the message that I've called Everything We Need. I want to see, what do you mean everything that we need? We see number one in verse 20, what I've simply called what we have. What we have. He starts out in verse 20, but. We have an unction. You see, he had just mentioned in verse 19 There were certain ones that at one time had been numbered among them. Oh yeah, we love the Lord. We want to serve the Lord. But he said in verse 19, they left us. And the reason they left us is because they never were one of us in verse 19. And John comes to them with this word of assurance in verse 20 by saying, but we, as children of God, we have, and he uses what's kind of a funny word for us in our day and age. I guess it's not a 21st century word that we would use all the time, but we have an unction. Maybe your Bible has switched it for anointing. It's still not an often used word, right? How many of we go around talking about unction and anointing in our day after day conversation? He says, we have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. Interestingly enough, do you remember when we started this chapter and we saw in verse 3, and hereby we do know that we know him. Back then, several weeks ago, remember, if not, I'll remind you, in John's writings, there were two words, Greek words, that he used that's translated know in English. In verse 3, it is the word to come to know by experience, to come to learn by experience. You've experienced this, you experienced this. I know what it is. When we get to verse 20, and he says, we have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. It is a different word, which means to be assured of the truth from the get-go. You know it. You don't have to learn it. You don't have to experience it. You don't have to wait on it I wonder if this is so. This is the word that he uses in verse 20. You have an unction from the Holy One, and because of that, you know all things. You know it. You don't have to question it. And that is an important thing for us to understand. This word, unction or anointing, from the Holy One or from God, what is this? It is a reference to the Holy Spirit upon or in every believer. The Holy Spirit in or on every believer. 2 Corinthians 1:21. Listen to what Paul wrote in verse 21 and 22. Now he which strengthens or establishes us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and given us the earnest or the down payment or deposit of the Spirit in our hearts. What do you mean the down payment or the deposit? We're all familiar with going and purchasing something and you don't have all the money at the time you want to purchase it. And so what do most businesses offer you? You make a what? You make a down payment on it, which is your promise that I will come back and pay in full. Do you know that the Lord has promised us so many things? And how do we know that the Lord is going to keep his word? Because the Father has anointed us with his Spirit. He sealed us And the Holy Spirit is the earnest. That's another word for down payment. I know John was talking about the return of our Lord this morning in 2 Peter. How, you Christians, what makes you so sure that the Lord is going to come again for you? I'll tell you why. Because the Holy Spirit, God's down payment, indwells me. And that's the promise that everything is coming. He's going to keep his word. Isn't that good stuff? As we think about this, this is what John is referring to. We have this anointing of the Holy Spirit. Well, anointing. Pastor, you know, it'd sure be helpful if you could define that word a little bit more for us. I'm glad you asked. Let me tell you what Wiest said in their Bible. I can't remember what the official title. Wiest, W-U-E-S-T, for you note takers. You look and you'll find it. Let me quote for you. The word unction is chrisma. The word refers to that with which the anointing is performed, the unction or ointment. Here it refers to the Holy Spirit with whom the believer is anointed. This refers to the initial coming of the Spirit into the hearts of the believing sinner at the moment he places his faith in the Savior. This anointing is never repeated. Now, the Old Testament priests, they were anointed with oil, you know how many times? Just once, when they entered into their office of priesthood. The New Testament priest, who's that? Who's the New Testament priest? That's us. You say, what do you mean? What do you mean? I'm glad you asked, because in 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter was writing concerning believers. He says, but you are a chosen generation. You know what his next three words were? A royal priesthood. As believers in Christ, we are priests, a holy nation, a peculiar people, or God's own. That doesn't mean, yeah, I always knew those Christians were a bunch of weirdos, the peculiar people. No, it's God's own, that you should show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Well, this is what John is showing us here. You have an unction from the Father. And because of that, you know all things. We'll get into that in a moment. We find, when did that take place? When were we inducted into the priesthood as a Christian? The moment we were saved. The Holy Spirit came upon us. And we find that this anointing is, listen to Mr. Wiest, it is only potential. That is, in itself, it offers no help to the believer. The help that the saint receives from the Spirit is through the fullness or the control of the Spirit, which control is consequent upon his yieldedness to the Spirit of God who indwells. He's there, but we're not going to receive the benefits of it unless We walk in the light as he is in the light. Unless we put sin out of our lives, we confess our sin. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. We yield to his leading. Then he's going to benefit us. But his just being there isn't going to benefit us unless we yield to his workings. One of the ministries of the Spirit, consequent upon his indwelling presence, get this, is that of enlightening the believer regarding the meaning of the Word of God. That's an important sentence. One of the ministries of the Spirit, consequent upon his indwelling presence, is that of enlightening the believer. Enlightening, turning the light on, so to speak, regarding the meaning of the Word of God. He is the great teacher in the truth. As a result of this, John says in verse 20, you know all things. That's why he said what he said there. Since this is true, and we've seen, number one, what we have, let's see, number two, what he does. What does he do? Turn with me to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. And we pick up at verse 13 and verse 14. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. You see, when our Lord was here, the Spirit's coming was just a promise. The Lord was talking about his coming. Even here, that last night with his disciples, howbeit he, the Spirit of truth, when he comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. So what is this first verse here, these first two verses? Oh, verse 14, forgot. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. What does this teach us? It teaches us one of his ministries is that he guides you and me into all truth. He guides you and me into all truth. Two different times here in verse 13 and verse 14. I wasn't going to say it, but I see it here repeated twice. True spirit leading and spirit led ministries never, never glorify the Holy Spirit. That's a big difference in some of these denominations. The big emphasis is on the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit. True Holy Spirit ministry. Notice verse 13, he shall not speak of himself. But boy, the charismatics and the Pentecostals, they really like to speak about the Holy Spirit, don't they? Verse 14, he shall glorify me, the Lord said, not himself. How do I know whether my charismatic friend, my Pentecostal friend, maybe they've got the truth? Maybe they don't, when you examine Scripture with Scripture. Take it to the test of Scripture. Holy Spirit ministries guides the believer into all truth. He does not speak of himself. We find that what he hears, he speaks. And verse 13, he's going to show you and me things to come. He'll open our eyes to understand things. And lastly, there in verse 14, he's going to glorify me. Who was speaking in this with the red letters on your page? It's our Lord. He's not going to glorify himself. It's all the glory goes to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, is that the only verse? No. Glad you asked. Go back a page. John 14, verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. What's he do here according to this verse? Well, he teaches us. Teaches us what? All things. All things. We go back to our text in verse 20 of 1 John chapter 2. We have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. How can we say that? Because that's what the Lord said would happen when the Father sent his Son to his own. And in that verse 26 also says, he's going to bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have what? Said unto you. How do you relate that, Pastor? How I relate this is those times, and I trust you that know the Lord as your own personal Savior. Perhaps you have been talking to somebody and a particular subject comes up and you all of a sudden just some passage of Scripture. Maybe you don't know where it's found, but you know what the words say, and you can give them that Scripture. Where does that come from, beloved? It's the Holy Spirit is bringing back to our remembrance those things that we have been taught. Is that all? Nope. Let's take another look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and John was referring to this again in our Sunday school lesson. Again, thank you, Lord, for interweaving and blending your truth, preparing our hearts as your children. You say, well, we heard it in Sunday school. We don't need to hear it again in the morning worship service. We needed to be what? Reminded of truth. And in 1 Corinthians 2, 12 through 14. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. We've been given the spirit of God that we might know what we have from God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them. Has nothing to do with his intelligence. Paul is not saying, well, that means you're a dummy. That means you're ignorant. No, it's because the natural man apart from the ministry of the Holy Spirit, never can understand spiritual truth. They don't make sense to it. How come he can't understand them? Because they're spiritually discerned, and as an unsaved person, he does not have the Holy Spirit dwelling within to teach you all things and guide you and show you and bring things to your remembrance. He doesn't have that advantage. And that's why so many that don't know the Lord say, I don't understand you Christians. This just doesn't make sense to me. There's a reason for that. It's because they don't have the spiritual capacity. Do you? Or maybe I'm talking over some of your heads today. Do you know the Lord? Have you put your faith and trust in Him? If you truly did, the Holy Spirit indwells you, and what I have been saying is true of you. But if you haven't, it'll never be true until the moment you confess the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, period. Well, as we look at this, we find in what do these verses say? In verses 12 through 14, he's given that we might know the things of God. We find here that the wisdom he teaches is not the wisdom of the world. He gives spiritual discernment. He gives us true judgment, and he gives to us the mind of Christ. Well, understanding this, what he does, on the heels of what we have, let's go on to number 3, and we see what's our responsibility as believers. What's my responsibility? Pastor, I understand what you're saying. How thankful I am that the Holy Spirit came upon me when I received the Lord as my own personal Savior. How thankful I am for His ministry and what He does, what He teaches. But what do I have any responsibility as a child of His? You bet we do. Where do we get that? Verses 24 and 25 of 1 John chapter 2. What do we see there? What's my responsibility? John said, let that therefore abide or remain in you which you have heard from the beginning. Let the truth that you have heard and learned as a believer from the Word of God stick with you. Don't cast it off and think, well, you know, this Bible, this stuff is old. We're in the 21st century. Maybe we need some new things. You see, that was a problem in John's day when he was writing this. The Gnostics, G-N-O-S-T-I-C-S. The Gnostics were a group of people who claimed to have superior knowledge. We have a level above the average believer, and we have been given new truths, and we can lead you farther along if you will just listen to what we have to share with you. And what is our responsibility as a believer? John said, stick with what you've been taught. If you've been taught the truth, stick with it. You don't need anything else. He says, these things that you've heard from the beginning. From the beginning of what? From the beginning of the church, Acts chapter 2. When the Lord kept his promise and the Comforter, the Spirit, Spirit of truth came and indwelt and started his indwelling ministry that continues to this very day, every true believer. He said, if that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, if you abide in, if you stick with God's word, if you build your life on what God has said, if that remain in you, you shall continue in the Son and in the Father. You won't be misled away from the truth concerning the Lord Jesus Christ or his Father. Kind of a simple formula, isn't it? If we just stop and think about it. If I want to know the truth, spiritually speaking, do I go to some witch? Do I go to some astrology report in the newspaper? If I want to know the truth, am I going to go to some source online put out by someone who doesn't know the Lord, but they're putting on a good show? It sounds interesting, and boy, a lot of people are listening to them. Paul or John said, here's our responsibility. Here's what we ought to be doing. We ought to abide, we ought to stick with, stay in the truth. And this is the promise that he's promised us. You do that, what's even eternal life? You're not going to be misled. As we think of that, don't question the truth of God's word or be opening yourself up to something new in the things of the Lord. Somebody must be rich and famous, I don't know, said this. I can't take credit for it. But somebody one time said, regarding, let me just say it, if it's true, it's not new. And if it's new, it's not true. You know, even Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, back in the book of Ecclesiastes, listen to what he said. This thousands of years ago, in Ecclesiastes 1:9b, he said, there is no new thing under the sun. How about that? Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? You know what his answer was? It hath been already of old time, which was before us. If it's new, it's not true. If it's true, it's not new. Well, having said that, that brings us lastly to what this means to us in verse 27. Going back to 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. Because Christians have the Spirit, look at what verse 27 says. But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in him. Because Christians have the Spirit of God, for the believer who is abiding in him, the Holy Spirit will lead to the truth always. Now, what did John mean by that little phrase when he said, you need not that any man teach you? Let me just quote a short quote from John MacArthur. When the apostle asserted that believers do not need other teachers, he was not advocating a mystical anti-intellectualism which spurns all human teachers. On the contrary, the Lord has given the church godly pastors, elders, teachers, according to Ephesians chapter 4, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry to the building up of the body of Christ. John's point is that believers must not rely on human wisdom or man-centered philosophy, but on the teaching of God's word by spirit-gifted human teachers and the illuminating work of the Holy Spirit. Where do we find the references to how God has blessed the church? Jot these references down, we don't have time. I already mentioned Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, where Paul listed gifted individuals that God gives the church. You could write down 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 20 and 21. You could write down 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 7 through 10. And I'll just read one short reference from that reference, and you can go fill in all the details later. Paul said back in 1 Corinthians 2, 7, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God hath ordained before the world unto our glory. How are we going to understand that hidden wisdom? Verse 10, God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. What an encouragement and an assurance these words of John give to us as believers. God has given us as his children everything we need in the person of his Holy Spirit, who indwells every believer, who takes God's word when we open it and opens our eyes and teaches our hearts. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, if we look to his word and depend upon the Spirit to guide us, there is no excuse for any true child of God to be caught up and carried away in error. Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Father. Your word has been so revealing to us this morning, and I thank you for the privilege of sharing the truth. These words were not my words. They were yours as you opened up my eyes, as I spent time in study, meditation, prayer, looking to your word, counting on you to reveal the truth. Thank you for the provision you have made for us through your Holy Spirit. Thank you for the assurance that we can be led away from truth and be confirmed in the truth as we walk in the light, depending upon you. If there's anyone that's heard this morning that doesn't know you as their own personal Savior, I pray, Lord, that you'd work in their hearts. Show them their greatest need. It's not understanding of truth. It's salvation by grace through faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. In your name we pray. Amen.